What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this coop. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Hit me up via Twitter at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My main man, Wags, behind the glass doing his thing. You can always hit him up via Twitter at NotTheFakeWags. I got a rant of the day about the NCAA and March Madness that we'll get to in just a few minutes. We'll also get you caught up and recap all of the items that we hit in the first hour of the show. There are a ton of things, including Cowboys news, who's visiting the Cowboys in the second wave of free agency and why it's important. We'll also talk about the Texans and who they have visiting them in the second wave of free agency, hopefully getting ready to make some moves and upgrade. So we'll get to that. Also, we talked a little bit about the Longhorns and their game in the NIT tonight versus South Dakota State. So we'll talk about that. We'll also preview that a little bit later on in the show. Probably when we get into some crosstalk, we'll do that too. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain and talk Texas football because I had my Longhorn Blitz podcast with my man Matt Butler and Jeff Howe at Jeff Howe 247 and my man Matt Butler at Longhorn Blitz in the Twitterverse. And we talked about a number of different things. So I'll give you a little sneak peek about the Longhorn Blitz podcast a little bit later on when we go behind the burnt orange curtain and talk about Texas spring football. So I believe now they're done. They're taking their spring break, all right, from spring practice right in the middle of it, and they'll resume after spring break is done. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Let's, matter of fact, before we get into my rant of the day, and then we recap some of the other items that we hit in the first hour of the show. I usually don't talk birthdays. I'm a pop culture critic, so I usually don't get into birthdays unless they are like really big birthdays. I did see that Bruce Willis is having a birthday today. Bruce Willis, who's 63, by the way, who's one of the white guys out there who made the bald white guy popular again. He did, because he started, you know, I mean, it's kind of random, because he started balding and then went full-on bald, but then he wasn't bald. It was always weird.
You're right, Tears of the Sun. He went bald, Tears of the Sun.
He went full.
He made it look good.
He did. He made it look good going bald, because he was balding. Don't get me wrong. He had no choice. I'm not saying he had a choice, but he embraced the baldness and didn't fight it and almost kind of put a little sexy swag on it. You know what I mean? Like Jeff Bezos is trying to do. Instead of looking like, you know, looking like Lex Luthor from Superman, like a villain, you know, kind of making it look sexy. And I think that's part of what Bruce Willis did. But here's why I love Bruce Willis. Pop culture critique. And if you disagree with me, the Specs text line is wide open because I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of disagreement. This may be an unpopular take, but it's my take. Bruce Willis plays John McClane in Die Hard. That's one of the roles he's really famous for. It's a Die Hard role, and he's John McClane. I would venture to say that John McClane is the greatest action movie hero of all time. And the reason I'm talking about action movie heroes, and I don't go to sci-fi. I don't want you going into your, you know, the Avengers. No, not superhero movies. No, action hero movies. And I know he's got to contend with Arnold Schwarzenegger and a couple of those other characters, but here is why. John McClane is better than Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from Predator and whatever else you want to think of. Because John McClane is a regular NYPD officer. That's it. He doesn't have some specialized CIA training. Yeah, he's not some covert operations guy. Hell, Wags has more training than John McClane. I'm not making it up. He does.
We don't know the backstory on John McClane.
We don't.
He might have been a soldier or Marine before a cop. But
maybe.
As a cop,
In a movie, they don't talk about that. In the movie, all they talk about is him being a frustrated cop, and he's just like you. His wife doesn't really like him. He has issues with his wife. His kids hate him. He's a bit of an a-hole at times. Smokes cigs, drinks too much. All that stuff, all those Shakespearean flaws that usually...
John, you've been drinking not since this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that make him that lovable... really that Shakespearean hero, because he's so flawed. Like, he's so flawed, like, in every aspect, as a father, as a husband. But what he's really good at is when the fit hits the shan, you want John McClane around. So he's better than, what's Matt Damon's character on, what's Matt Damon?
Jason Bourne?
Yeah, he's better than Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne's got the training.
Because Jason Bourne was trained to do that stuff. He's a trained assassin. Well, hell yeah, you should be out there kicking butt. Yeah, you're a trained assassin. This guy's an NYPD cop who's wearing
went
a white.
To the academy.
Yeah, he went to the academy wearing a white beater, smoking six, and he's asked to do these extraordinary things, hanging out with Samuel L. Jackson in the street. Yeah, so my thing is, he doesn't have the specialized training to be great. There's no reason for him to be a great action movie hero, but he is. So I'll take John McClane over the rest of them. If you disagree, Specs text line. But I think that he's so American. You know what I mean? In every aspect of his action movie hero resume, he's so American in every way. And I love that about him. But they almost wrote the script to set up the plot where he's not meant to be an action hero, but he ends up kind of unwittingly being placed in those situations.
I was getting ready to try and counter you and say Bruce Wayne, but Bruce Wayne had ninja training.
And he's a billionaire. Well, hell, if I was a billionaire, I'm mad at every billionaire on the planet right now who's under 50. Because if I was a billionaire under 50, I would definitely be a superhero. I would be Batman. I would devote all of my money to having, you know, a Batmobile and a really cool motorcycle and a really cool, a helicopter or some type of plane that could fly. I would be Batman. And honestly, I'd probably be telling everybody I'm Batman, so I'd probably get fouled out really quickly.
John McClane can't afford a pint or a fifth of vodka.
John McClane's in debt like the rest of us. He's in debt like...
cigarettes on credit.
Yeah, he's in debt like all of us. He can barely pay for his kids to go to college. Both of his kids hate him. That's why he's great. All right, if you disagree, and I'm sure you do, Specs text line, I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has a couple of characters that may be able to contend with John McClane. But think about it, John McClane's are iconic, though. Arnold Schwarzenegger...
John Matrix?
Who?
John Matrix in Commando?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But specialized training, oftentimes
exactly.
He has great weaponry. John McClane's got a gun. That's it. Usually he's got a gun. He got one gun, and that's usually it. And he just ends up shooting down a helicopter. So, listen, I'm not saying it's realistic, but also that the character from Arnold Schwarzenegger, his character, they don't transcend. Like Steven Seagal's characters, they're not as iconic as John McClane. Everybody knows John McClane and Die Hard. A lot of people out there haven't even seen Commando. I guarantee they've seen a Die Hard.
Probably seen the trilogy.
So yeah, kids who are 14 and 15 these days are like, I don't know who the hell the Commando is. They probably haven't seen the original Predator. They've seen like the spinoffs. But they've seen Die Hard. And they've seen it with John McClane in it. You know, they might not have even seen the original Terminator. They've seen Die Hard. So that's my take. Someone says Indiana Jones. No one is close. Indiana Jones. Listen, Indiana Jones is in the conversation, but
he's
a professor. Like he is elite in some aspect of training.
Architect.
Like he's an archaeologist. So, archaeologist. Yeah, so Indiana Jones is great, but he's trained to be an archaeologist. His dad was a great archaeologist. His father was one of the greatest archaeological minds in the history of the world. John McClane, we don't even know who his dad is. We don't even talk about his parents. They probably left him on a doorstep. For God's sakes, really? Indiana Jones? Hell, Indiana Jones is in some Oxford classroom teaching kids about archaeology. You think John McClane can even say archaeology?
McClane family probably even from, they're probably not even from New York. They're probably from Jersey, right?
Yeah, Indiana. Indiana Jones is great. He ain't John McClane. John McClane is us. Indiana Jones, most Americans don't know what the hell archaeology is. John McClane is American. Sorry, Indiana Jones ain't. That's a greatest American action movie hero. So maybe I'll specify it then. But I think he might be the greatest action movie hero, period. But No, some people say we like, because like, I think there is.
How did we get
is it,
here?
Is it Jackie? Jackie here? Chan was like a really good action movie hero, but I don't know his characters that he plays. I'm talking about the characters they play.
And he only, I think he only did his characters
right
roll yeah. over through time. Did they do
Jackie?
The
Jackie Chan. It, so I'm talking about if we're talking about worldwide, then Jackie Chan might have something to say about it. I don't know how he got here. Oh, I know how he got here. We Bruce Willis celebrated his 63rd birthday today, and boom, we start talking about Bruce Willis. Okay, I will read the text on this text line because now everybody wants to get their two cents in about greatest action movie hero. It's amazing the things that captivate the Rodcast audience. All right, so I'll read those selections. Right now, let me get into my rant of the day, as if that wasn't a rant already.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, and, you know, I was reading an article about the NCAA tournament. You know how much money the NCAA tournament brings in? No, scratch that. You know how much money the NCAA brings in annually? About $1.1 billion right now. Right now. That's increasing, obviously, year by year. 2017, it was $1.1 billion. 90% of that $1.1 billion comes from the NCAA tournament. It's their cash cow. Over $900 million of the $1.1 billion they bring in annually comes from this 3 weeks of the tournament. So just put that in the back of your brain, because I remember when the FBI, remember the FBI corruption, basketball corruption scandal broke? With Adidas, doing shady deals, off-the-book deals, trying to pay players and pay coaches to influence players' decisions. All right, broke September 27, 2017. The FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, I think, were the ones who kind of spearheaded this investigation. Remember, everybody said it was going to blow up college basketball. Like, it was going to be the biggest college basketball, almost widespread college basketball scandal in the last 30, 40 years. And it's going to take, you know, a lot of these blue blood programs a while to recover because the FBI is now in on it. And they've actually arrested, I think, 10 different people they've arrested. I think 25 coaches and former players have been mentioned, but they've actually made some arrests with assisting coaches and with administrators and officials from Adidas and the shoe company. And there's other shoe companies that are mentioned, but Adidas is the main one. So in all, I think there were 20 schools, 20 basketball programs that were listed as, you know, someone working for them or in some way somebody was violating NCAA rules within that basketball program, whether it be a coach, a player, or administrator. 9 of them are tournament teams, so like close to half of the 20 schools that were mentioned in the FBI investigation, they are tournament teams. The NCAA has had this information for probably going on a year plus now, going on almost a year and a half, and they've done nothing. Now, they're still waiting on more information. They'll say that. All right. The NCAA loves to say, hey, we're waiting on more information. There are two more trials that are scheduled for April and June, prosecuting those who have been charged in this FBI corruption investigation. But I'll put money on it that even when the NCAA has all the details, that they do nothing. If they do something, it might be a slap on the wrist. It might be a slap on the wrist to somebody. And maybe they wanted to avoid tournament time. But whenever they punish these schools, they'll be sure to make sure it's only during the regular season and they don't miss any tournament time, I can assure you, whenever that happens. But Arizona, Auburn, Louisville, Texas, Miami, Bama, USC, North Carolina State, Seton Hall, LSU, Maryland, Kentucky, Washington, Utah, South Carolina, Kansas, San Diego State, Clemson, Michigan State, Wichita State, all mentioned in the FBI program. So the NCAA, one of their big complaints is that they don't really have their own investigative force, so it takes them a while to investigate anything. That's why they don't find corruption. They depend on schools to self-police. That's a compliance department. So they depend on self-regulation, which is always a mistake. All right, you just tell us when you violate the NCAA rules. And on top of that, usually it's the media, the press, that breaks stories of corruption and teams violating NCAA rules. And this time it was Yahoo Sports that broke it. And then once Yahoo Sports breaks it, it comes to the attention of the NCAA. They read a newspaper or read the story online and go, hey, we probably need to get down to North Carolina. Yeah, it just broke. Yahoo Sports says that they got a massive, widespread academic fraud scandal going on down there. And that's how they work. It sounds crazy, but that's exactly how they work. And with this situation, the FBI, all right, the United States District Attorneys, right, for a certain district have already vetted the information. So you know exactly what it is, and you know what schools have violated NCAA rules. It's pretty simple, and it's all laid out there in reports. But the NCAA wouldn't dare touch their golden goose, which is the NCAA tournament, especially since there are some blue bloods on that list. There's some Louisvilles, and, there's Kentucky, and then there's some Kansas, and there's Michigan State. There's some blue bloods in college basketball on that list. And in the NCAA tournament, March Madness, those are often the star. Those brands are often the stars of the show. So I'm not saying the NCAA is never going to do anything, but they're going to move at a glacier-like pace. I can assure you of that on these scandals and this FBI corruption probe into college basketball, into shoe manufacturers and their shady dealings to influence student athletes and prospects to go to certain schools and coaches to recruit certain players. But they're definitely not going to punish those teams during tournament time or at the end of the year. So maybe at the beginning of next year, next season, they'll punish a couple of these schools and it'll just be a slap on the wrist. Or they may not punish them at all. They may decide, and I don't know if they would have the gall to do it, the audacity to do it, but they could. They've done it before. They may decide no NCAA rules were broken. None. And we're moving on from it. They've done that before. And I know it sounds crazy, the North Carolina academic fraud scandal over two decades where North Carolina offered up fake classes. I'm not making it up. That's true. Fake classes to 200 or something students over that period of time. The largest academic fraud scandal in the history of modern college sports in the NCAA looked at all the evidence and said no NCAA rules were violated here. I'm not making that up. That is exactly what they did. And when you have the lack of a moral compass and have a money compass, yeah, you can come out and say ridiculous, asinine things like, academic fraud does not constitute an NCAA violation. And remember, the same thing with Michigan State. Michigan State with the Larry Nassar crimes against humanity. All right. Some of the most the horrible and disgusting crimes we've ever seen, not just rule violations, but crimes that we've ever seen associated with college sports. And the NCAA decided that Larry Nassar's over, 50 counts of sexual assault against young women was not an NCAA violation. So I'm not saying that just to rant on the NCAA, but my point is they really could look at this FBI corruption scandal in college basketball and say, well, we don't think any violations took place, and all of the people who were supposed to be punished and who were responsible for this corruption have been arrested and charged and punished to the full extent of the law. So there's nothing for the NCAA to do. They can say whatever they want, only to avoid the responsibility of actually having to have a moral compass of any kind or having to stand for anything at all other than straight cash, homie, which is what they're really about. So I remember when that was a big deal. Remember, it was going to shake the foundation of college basketball. It would never be the same. The corruption has been revealed. It has been shown to light. And it's like, nah, not really. Nobody even cares. They're moving on. We got another scandal now associated with with college sports. And now it's a different bribery scandal, but the admissions bribery scandal, a different type of college corruption. And it comes in many different forms. But I don't expect the NCAA to do anything. I think they're happy that it's going away, and they're just going to hope that slowly but surely other headlines end up, you know, taking over, and the 24/7 news cycle just buries that story so deep that one day somebody asked a question about it, but it's too late at that point. All right, we come back. We'll go over what the Cowboys are doing in the second wave of free agency. Also, we'll go over what the Texans are doing in the second wave of free agency. And we'll go over the responses to my hot take, my pop culture critique, that John McClane, yes, that John McClane of Die Hard, is the greatest American action movie hero of all time. Character, maybe I should say. Still, we'll get into that, all of that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line. It's lit right now. 512-337-3776. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. My man Wags at Not The Fake Wags. I want to talk Cowboys and Texans here. I want to go behind the burnt orange curtain and try to cram a lot into the next 8 to 10 minutes here. But first, we got to go to the Specs text line. I put out my pop culture critique about Bruce Willis, because Bruce Willis is celebrating his 63rd birthday today. I said, to me, Bruce Willis is iconic for a lot of reasons, but most importantly, he played the greatest action movie hero character, in my opinion, in American pop culture history. John McClane from Die Hard. I don't think there's a better one out there. I know there is.
Now, what's the prerequisites? What's the classifications for this, right? Well, you can't have
superpowers.
Elite training.
Yeah, no superpowers either. There are some guys. My point is, the reason John McClane is better than the other action movie heroes is because he doesn't have elite training. He's just a guy like Wags has more elite training, and I'm not being hyperbolic. He has more elite training than John McClane.
Right. We've seen a lot of Chuck Norris characters come in.
Come on now.
It's Delta Force. Come on,
Chuck,
man.
Norris. Yeah, exactly. Chuck Norris was fighting Bruce Lee at one point. Man, Chuck Norris is trained.
Into the dragon.
Right? Someone says Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker in Rush Hour. Okay, I feel you.
Well, that's the only Jackie Chan character that actually was transcendent, right?
No, Jackie Chan played a lot.
Did he have characters that go into other movies as well?
He played a lot of characters in movies that are like not American movies, like Asian movies that were really big. So he's an Asian action movie hero, probably the greatest. Someone says McClane jumped a car into a helicopter.
Didn't he do something with a motorcycle too?
I think he did. He's got so many. What is like six diehards now? I lose track. Someone says, what about Indiana Jones? We got a lot of Indiana Jones. And you're right, Indiana Jones is probably number two. I'm not gonna joke. Indiana Jones might be the second best American action movie character. Because he doesn't have, like, physical. Yeah, he's doing it with his intelligence. He does have elite training, but in archaeology, not necessarily in fighting people
and
beating bad guys. He's an historian. So I do like Indiana Jones, maybe for number two. It's a good one. Someone says McClane didn't even have shoes. I agree. He beat these guys with no shoes on, man.
He's
come
taking
on.
Cigarettes off a dead man's body.
Taking cigarettes off. That guy's awesome. Someone says Axel
They're
Foley.
European because of their cigarettes.
Axel Foley. That's a pretty good one. That made me laugh.
That's good attention to detail, too, by John McClane.
That is very true. Good point. Someone says John McClane was barefoot. We get a lot. Someone says John Wick. John Wick.
Training.
I love John Wick, though, by the way. I'm a big fan of John Wick
big
movies.
Big fan of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
dude.
But he's an assassin. I mean, he's just like Jason Bourne. He's an assassin. Of course he's going to be awesome. I like this suggestion because it's thought-provoking. Chuck Norris. I like Chuck Norris, but every time he plays a character, as Wax points out, there usually is a background of elite training, whether it be Delta Force or even, hell, Walker Texas Ranger. maybe that's the character you want to go after, but that's television. Someone says Nick Nolte in 48 Hours. That's hilarious. Someone says Martin Riggs, please. Dirty Harry. Ooh. Now you're talking. Dirty Harry is iconic. That is true. I think John McClane is a little more badass than Dirty Harry. And I know that sounds crazy. I think he is. Dirty Harry was straight up ruthless, though. I mean, he was like just killing people.
Yeah, that python.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know what I mean? So Dirty Harry's legit. I like that one. All right. So someone says.
I'm not talking about a snake either. I'm talking about his colt.
Someone says Liam Neeson in Taken.
Had training.
Outlaw Josie Wales. Now, the Westerns, that's a whole new genre. I do like that, too. That's a good point. I didn't think about the Westerns, because there are some great characters in Westerns that, like, Oh, no, not. Who was his character in Unforgiven? Was it William Money? I think it was William Money. I think William Money is better than all Clint Eastwood's characters in Westerns. I think he was better and probably more badass than all of them. All right. Random story and random rant there, but I appreciate all of you guys in the text. Way to go, Deal Hole says, Jason Statham runs away with it in Transporter. That's not even
what
Jason.
That other movie he was in too.
That's not even Jason Statham's best role. Crank. Yeah, which are all kind of the same thing. It's just him driving cars and running from people. That is true. He does have hot women with him all the time. All right, thanks for the text and the responses about our American action movie hero conversation. Let's talk about the Cowboys really quickly. They brought in Eric Berry for a visit today, which I love. I think it's a really good move by the Cowboys. And it shows you there's a trend developed with the Cowboys. I point this out in the first hour. Here's the trend. The Cowboys want to get the best bang for their buck that they can get in free agency. So, number one, they avoid the biggest spending session of free agency, which is the first week of it. They get into the second week where the price drops considerably on all these free agents, and that's when the Cowboys start going to work. So they brought in Randall Cobb yesterday. They brought in Clayton Gethers, a safety, yesterday. Today they bring in Robert Quinn, who they're reportedly going to try to trade for because he's with the Dolphins now. The Dolphins are trying to trade him, and he's been reportedly on the Cowboys for Cowboys grounds there in Dallas, hanging out and walking around and visiting that facility. They also brought in Eric Berry today. And Eric Berry is 30 years old, and much like the rest of these guys the Cowboys are bringing in, they've been devalued. Their value has dropped significantly because of either age, injuries, or both. Eric Berry, right, has played 4 games in the past 2 years. So his value has dropped significantly because of the injuries. He beat cancer in 2014. He's a great story. And when he plays at his best and when he's healthy, he's a Pro Bowl All-Pro safety. No question about it. Now he's a little bit older. He's 30. He's better in the box. You probably don't want him one-on-one with a slot wide receiver a lot of the times. But he can cover running backs, and he can cover tight ends, and he can still be a viable safety for you. And you get a lot of upside there because the value has been driven down by age and by injury. Same thing with Clayton Gethers, the safety they brought in. He missed 23 games due to neck injuries. He's played 26 games of his last 48 games, and he had his best year last year. He started in 12 games for the Colts, best year last year, so he's trending in the right direction, but his value driven down once again by injuries. Randall Cobb, same thing, right? Has 6 different stretches in the last 3 years where he's missed time. But, you know, when he's playing really well, he's one of the best slot wide receivers in football. At least he was for Aaron Rodgers. And he's only 28. He's not that old. And they got Tavon Austin in a similar role. And Tavon Austin, they also got on the cheap because his value was driven down by injuries and age. So all the guys they're looking at, and even they just signed Kerry Hyder, a defensive end who went to Tech. He was undrafted. He's a really good natural pass rusher. I remember watching him in the Big 12. He had 8 sacks in 2016, missed all of 2017. Because of an injury, a torn Achilles, and had 1 sack in 2018. Really high upside, but really cheap because he was an undrafted free agent, and injuries have driven down the price. Same thing with Christian Covington, who came from the Texans. The injuries drove down his price. He missed half of 2017 with a torn bicep, only played 12 games in 2018. So their plan, it's obvious, much like, you know, Jalen Smith, who they got a lot of value out of because they drafted him in the second round. Most teams thought that there's no way he was going to play again. They got apparently really good training staff there with the Cowboys. Otherwise, they wouldn't even be going after all these guys who have injury histories. And they have a strength and conditioning training staff they trust to try to maximize these guys once they get them on the roster. But in terms of bang for your buck and the value, The Cowboys are bargain shoppers now, man. They're clearance rack shoppers, and that's a really good like mantra and ethos to have. I saw a quote from Stephen Jones, mixing up my Joneses, but Stephen Jones was asked about free agency and why the Cowboys weren't more active, and he said the biggest thing is just that free agency. I just don't think you can make a living there. He went on to say, that's what we've always said. I think you're overpaying in free agency most of the time. Free agents are overvalued because you're competing in a market where you've got teams that don't have as many players they have to spend on and have to use cap space on. So he's already telling you he doesn't like free agents. Stephen Jones, why the Cowboys, think about what the Cowboys have built. Their D-line, they built up mostly through the draft. O-line, through the draft. Quarterback, running back, through the draft. Defensive backfield, through the draft. Linebackers, through the draft. The only position they really haven't built through the draft specifically is wide receiver. Every other position the Cowboys build through the draft, that's the guys they want to pay. So I kind of like what they're doing, but I really would love for them to get Eric Berry at a value pickup, man. That would be, real quick, before we go to break, and then we'll come back and get into the Texans, and I'll give you my Longhorn nugget on the other side. I went over these numbers when I was looking at Earl Thomas, because I thought Earl Thomas was going to be a Cowboy. We were all hoping. And went and looked at all the, you know, the great Hall of Fame safeties over time. There are 14 of them, by the way, 14 Hall of Fame safeties, including the class that's going in most recently. Out of those 14 Hall of Fame safeties, 8 of them have been voted to at least 4 Pro Bowls at 30 years or older. 11 of the 14 were first-team All-Pro at least once at 30 years or older. 7 of the 14, half of them were first-team All-Pro at least twice at 30 years or older. And I'm not saying Eric Berry's a Hall of Famer, but he's a 3-time first-team All-Pro, 3-time Pro Bowler. He's got that kind of ceiling. And after 30, usually safeties, especially in a league that's become less and less physical, they're actually starting to age better. And I think it's always been the case, but I think now even more so you're getting longevity out of those guys. All right, we'll come back. I'll throw in my Texans nugget. We'll also get in some Longhorn football discussion. They're actually the odds, at least the over-under for win totals for college football teams are out, and some of the lines on the biggest games of next season are out. We'll talk about the Longhorns and where they stand. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM, 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Oh, yeah, special shout-out. Happy birthday to Bun B. Hey, Chad, can you tell me what rap group Bun B was originally a member of? I will give you a black card if you can answer this question. I have an extra black card. I got one in the mail last week because I told him I lost my black card, but I really didn't. Got one, an extra one. Uh-huh. So I'll give you my extra black card.
You got an extra black card for me?
I do.
If I can pull this off.
And, bro, I can get a lot of trouble for this, just so you know. Okay. I can lose my black card for trying to give you one. Can you? But you got to tell me who Bun B was originally a member of. What group was he originally a member of? Hip-hop group.
UGK.
Oh, boom!
Is that
black
right?
Black card coming to you, brother.
I appreciate that.
Nice! Boom! That's pretty good.
There's a percentage of me that knew it, and there's a percentage of me, I believe, where maybe you mentioned it another time, and I just remembered it. But I'm going to take credit for all of whatever just happened.
To get good credit on your black card.
Oh no! See, this is the thing.
The extra credit.
Can I name anybody else in UGK?
Yes.
Can you name the
other member of UGK? Only one other member.
Okay.
Oh, this is good.
So it's. Oh,
I
man.
Take my black card.
No,
back
no,
away.
I no, 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 you can't take it away now.
I think I got to take it away.
Come on, man.
I gave it to you.
The Bun B is in UGK.
I gave it to you too quickly. It was a premature black card giveaway.
Hang on.
When I say it, I guarantee you've heard the name before.
No, I'm sure I've heard the name.
And you're going to be like, damn it, I knew that. Craig Way would know. Craig Way randomly knows a lot of hip-hop. I don't know. He knows.
Does he get a lifeline?
Is it a big something? Is the word big involved?
There's a good chance it probably was a big or a little. You know what I mean?
Is the word big involved?
No, not a big or a little.
Okay, I got no guess. Tell me.
It is Pimp C.
Oh!
Pimp C.
Doggone it.
So that would be a great
Pimp
game.
Pimp C and Bun B.
The hint of Big Pimpin'.
Big Pimpin' would have helped him out probably, yeah.
Pimp C and Bun B make up UGK. That's a lot of letters, but I'll try to remember.
Do you know what UGK stands for?
This
is good. This is like that. What's that show, the Dave Chappelle show, where you said, like, test white people? Like, how well do you know black people? This is one of those games.
Under the Gangster Kingdom.
Not bad.
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. That is really close.
Is G Gangster?
It's Underground King.
No.
But you were really, you had so Underground.
Close. Underground King.
I love the logic, though.
That was really
Thank you very much.
Gangster Kingdom. Good job.
Dude, back in the day.
You're getting a black card anyway, because I'm very impressed card? With okay. you today. Yes.
Back,
a black card anyway.
Back in the day when Jeff Ketchum and I did a show together, we had a producer for a while named A.T. Shout out to A.T.
A.T.?
She's fantastic. And A.T. and I would play black or white trivia. Because Jeff Ketchum is in touch with both white and black culture like no one I've ever met. He really has a connection to both.
An honorary black card from one of his friends? Because I gave Craig an honorary black card. He's the only white guy.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys. So he would judge the question. I would go to him with the question, with a white question for her. She would go to him with a black question for me.
I like that.
And we were trying to figure out who won. Yeah, and I ultimately won, which basically means that I'm slightly cooler than she was dorky. That basically is all it meant.
Well, you know what? I definitely would. Man, I always say I'm a white man trapped in a black man's body. I would kill it at that game.
You would be good at that.
Dude, I'm telling you, I would mash that guy. I lost my black card years ago, and I told people I watched Dawson's Creek. You know what I mean?
Like, I couldn't. And it was, she knew nothing about white culture stuff. Like, I tried to give her easy stuff on, like, Dukes of Hazzard and things like that, and it was nothing. Not a thing.
The key to knowing a different culture, I'm not joking about this, is dating a person in that of that ethnicity. I know a lot about Latino, Hispanic culture and white culture, I guess, because I've dated a lot of Latino, Hispanic, and white women. And I've learned a lot about a little bit about Asian cultures, a little bit, because I've dabbled there too.
That's how you've dabbled.
You want to know black culture? You date somebody black, and you learn everything you need to know.
You'll just happen.
That we cocoa butter up at least 3 times a day. And you didn't know that before. You're like, damn, really? I'm going to go cocoa butter up in the bathroom right after this show, right after we get down here.
Yeah, you sure. I asked you the question. You showed me the ash right away. You stuck a hand right in my face. Look at that. What is that, Chad?
I didn't even know what ash was. And I was like, that's ash, man.
No, I've heard of it.
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah.
I heard of it.
But
I just,
no black person would ever show you ash because you're supposed to be ashamed of your ash.
Yeah, I'd never really. Yeah, no one had ever shown me.
Because you're not supposed to show white people that.
Wow, look at you. You really pulled the curtain back, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm giving you a
You pulled the curtain back.
We're not going to get into the topics that I want to get into, so I'll ask you one last question.
Okay, one last question.
Bruce Willis' birthday is today, 63rd birthday.
Yes.
I say that he is the greatest American action movie hero character of all time when he plays John McClane. No action movie hero is better than John McClane. That is my
No action movie hero is better
opinion.
Than John McClane. You said American action movie hero.
American action movie hero.
So we're taking Arnold out of the discussion.
No. You playing Arnold.
For that.
But it's about the character they play in the movie.
Oh,
nobody's better than John McClane.
The character. The
John McClane is the greatest action movie hero
The reoccurring character. Yeah, I'm going to agree with that because there's a Batman quality to John McClane that I think people relate to. Because John McClane doesn't come to it with necessarily any, there's no superpowers.
No CIA training.
He's not an alien, and he's not Arnold. He's not super yoked and jacked.
Agreed.
That's what made those movies work. And I'm a huge Die Hard fan, so you got me.
Yeah, right.
I'm in.
Yeah, because his wife hates him, his kids hate him, he's in debt, he smokes, he drinks, and he saves the world barefoot. I love that guy. All right, Chad and Kevin coming up next. Great job, Wags, as always. Thank you guys for hitting us up on the Specs text line. Great job today. It was lit. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We're talking about it right here on the Rodcast. I love you guys. Have a great evening, and be kind to one another. That's important. Peace.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.